This is the opening of the call this to order for the public hearing, the regulation amendment of the Sagebrush Ecosystem Program. Virtual access, those who've made it, appreciate it. Microsoft Teams meeting ID number 214-479-019-995. Passcode H4GNNB7. Phone number 775-321-6111. Conference ID number 245-163-976 pound. That'll open the hearing. And if we could get a roll call just to confirm we have a quorum, please.
Sure. Chris McKenzie?
Here.
Jake Tibbetts?
Here.
Kyle Davis? Steve Boyes? Bevan Lister?
Here.
Sherm Swanson? Daphne M. Hooper?
Here.
Matt Jones?
Here.
Willie Malini?
All right, we have five.
Got five.
So we have a quorum. We'll open up the hearing. With that, we have public comment. Anybody like to make public comment at this time? Nobody here? Anybody online? Going once, going twice, not seeing or hearing any public comment. Item three, presentation, discussion of proposed regulation. NAC three.
Oh, there's a flashing.
Excuse me. NAC 232480 refers to training and certification of verifiers for the Sagebrush Ecosystem Technical Team. Purpose of the proposed regulation change is to add definition and to clarify language and to clarify requirements for becoming certified as a verifier for the Conservation Credit System, behavior and violations that would warrant warnings or decertification and the decertification process. With that, we have the regs before you. They're attached. Any questions, comments, or would you like us to go through it? Board members, do you have any items you'd like to address within the regs?
Mr. Chair, this is Jake.
Hi, Jake.
Just maybe a couple questions. So team there on page four, when it under item, so it's section five, subsection three. Yeah, about there. Yeah, sort of. So the renew down below, where it talks about a certification renewed annually.
Down here.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just my question. Don't know if we need to clear this up or not, but so they can be renewed annually up to four times, but could there be a gap in that where it's not like subsequent 4 years? So somebody isn't renewed and then they come back another year. So were you thinking it'd be like consecutive 4 years, or is there a gap where somebody would maybe miss a year, they don't have to go and be recertified, but they can do that up to four times?
Our internal rules, Kathleen Still for the record, is that if they miss a year and do not get certified, then they must attend the in-person training, not necessarily submit a completely new application. But if they, I guess, if they renew annually up to four times. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I understand that. I just think the way it reads, it said they can be renewed up to four times, but maybe we need to add maybe consecutively renewed or something. Just so, I don't know if it'd ever be an issue, but I could see, you know, maybe somebody missed a year and then they come back and say, you know, I don't have to do the training because this says in your regulations that I can be renewed four times.
I mean, if they miss a year, then that would go to what, biannual or something?
We would still require them to take the in-person training. It's still, regardless of whether they take the training, this is just saying that they have to submit a new application for certification, which just keeps us up to date on their resume. I don't think it really matters if it's 4 years consecutively versus 4 years
And we're covered because it says annually. And I would, that implies you're renewing.
Annually.
Annually. Rather than. And I guess I guess.
That's fine. Yeah. Just the question.
No, that's a good point. I'm thinking annually means you do it yearly.
As a lawyer, would that stand up?
Yeah, I think you're, I mean, it's because annually I key on that. If not that I'm the end all beat all, if we want to, we could probably rephrase it if you'd like.
No, it's not a big deal. Just thought I'd bring it up.
No, good point.
We can, with Nicole, do you see anything that could be interpreted with respect to legal language incorrectly there?
Hi, it's Nicole Ting for the record. Great question. And that's I like the detail of picking this out. Okay, so I don't know. I read it as kind of ambiguous. I think it could be cleaned up as far as, hold on, where's annually? Need my glass. Shall apply, hold on. I think it just said should apply before, something about applying before the termination of their current license. But hold on, let me see where we could put that in. Yeah, okay. So a certification is as a verifier is valid for 1 year and may be renewed annually and before, comma, and before the termination of the current license period up to 4 times by participating in training offered by the Sagebrush ecosystem technical team is what I'd recommend, because I think it is kind of ambiguous of whether it would be consecutively or have gaps in between, but I do get what you're saying, Chair, is it does say annually. So it could be interpreted like that too, but just to clean it up, I think that language would help.
I like it. Jake, you okay with that?
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Chair, at the risk of bouncing around, maybe you want me to just kind of really minor things, but step through a couple more questions I have?
And that horse.
Okay, page 6. So it'd be towards the end of subsection 1 there where it talked acting as a ver, so acting K, I guess K. And to me, again, it's ambiguous. So it says the disciplinary action would be taken against a verifier for the following causes, and then K. If acting as a verifier in other projects in which the verifier, an associate of the verifier or a family member has an interest. And I'm just questioning that an associate of the verifier. I think to me that's really open-ended. You know, a lot of folks have this business relationship. I know what it's intended to do. It's, you know, that the levels of affinity or consanguinity or whatever it is. But I think this leaving that open, that what does that mean to be an associate of the verifier?
Good question. It is pretty broad. I don't know if business associate would be enough or.
But I think that would be the thing is they would be a business. Well, I mean, they're associated them because they're getting paid to be that verifier, you know? So.
Yeah.
I just wonder if we just lean back on the kind of the ethics law about the levels of affinity or consanguinity, you know, or referencing a pecuniary interest rather than just an interest.
I like the adding the Kathleen Seal for the record, the pecuniary interest instead of changing the associate of the verifier, because that's what we're getting at is if they're
getting some kind of benefit to the fact that they might change some numbers in the debit project. And that's what we don't want.
Skylar Monahan, for the record, is that something maybe we want to put in the definitions?
Under verify?
Yeah, like an associate of verifier.
I think we originally had it up there, but LCB moved it to where it would fit a little bit better.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think maybe just having that defined more would be kind of what we're getting at here.
Yeah. Like, my question is, could it be argued that somebody's an associate of a verifier just because they have a business relationship on a totally unrelated thing or something? This seems really open-ended.
Well, I think the key is focusing on the interest part. Nicole?
Something? So, well, like in Chapter 281A, the Ethics and Government, they kind of limit, you know, shall not seek anything from, it's more of like a, they say family members or significant pecuniary interest. So we could say a significant pecuniary interest to be in line with the Nevada ethics statutes, or we could say an agent, which is more legally defined term.
So instead of associate agent.
Yeah, I like that better than associate.
I don't know if agent broad enough. I mean, agent means somebody that's working on your behalf, typically. You could be doing it for somebody that's above you in the chain also.
We could do a definition section and then define an associate agent as someone who's working with the verifier on the current project, or some kind of wording like that.
How's it defined? I mean, this has to be probably defined in other areas of statute or regs for, you know, is there something in the ethics law that we could pull from?
Mr. Chair, can we just strike out an associate? Because to me, it's the verifier or a family member has a pecuniary interest. Like, we have no control over the people we associate with.
Yeah.
I just think that it's, unless there's something else intended there, but we're all, like, say if I was a verifier, I have a broad network of people that I deal with that are associates that may have an interest in that project. You know, the ethics law covers a lot of this too. It just seems that.
And what? Yeah, I like that. Get rid of an associate of the verifier, which the verifier or family member of the verifier has a pecuniary interest.
Strike associate and add pecuniary.
Nicole Ting, for the record, just for your guys' consideration, the ethics law does also say, I don't know if we want to reword associate to just take out associate and say any person to whom the public officer or employee has a commitment in a private capacity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you get
this? Could you reword that for us? Or restate that for us, please, Nicole? Sorry.
Yeah, of course, Chair. Thank you. Any person to whom, or not the public, to whom the verifier, rather, not public officer, any person to whom the verifier or employee of the verifier has a commitment in a private capacity. That's how it word. That's how it worded. How it's worded in 281A.
Okay, just so I know I caught that. Any person to whom the verifier or employee of the verifier has a commitment in a private capacity?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we get rid of family member, et cetera?
Oh, that's a good point. Family member does seem kind of covered by the previous the previous category.
Yeah, I'd argue that our DAG's wording probably covers everything.
Yeah. So acting as a verifier on any debit project in which the verifier or any person to whom verifier or employee of verifier has a commitment in a private capacity, period.
They have a pecuniary interest.
But do you initially have a pecuniary interest with a family member? Not always. Trying to catch it all. How about acting as a verifier on any debit project in which the verifier or family member of the verifier has a pecuniary interest, or to any person to whom the verifier or any employee of the verifier has a commitment in a private capacity?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yes, and or any person.
Just do or.
You good?
Yep.
Good point, Jake. What you got next?
And right below section 8, where there's, you know, the first two circumstances where the program manager would kind of kick off the disciplinary action. So sub A is a verbal warning, and then B is written. So it's a much higher standard for written because it's personal delivery or certified mail. Where A is kind of still written because it's a verbal warning and then it's documented in writing. So I'm just wondering, I'm kind of leaning toward it should be written in every cert. If you've got to write it down and document it anyways for verbal, shouldn't it just be the written warning? Because it's written in either way. You give them a verbal warning and then you write it down and document it and provide that to them anyways. I just feel for starting a disciplinary action, it should be probably just always through the written process rather than verbal.
Kathleen Steele, for the record, one of our verifiers who went down this step, said that if we just call them, then we might. They might not have an issue with certain things, or we might solve some things first before issuing a written warning initially. So I know that it was requested that a verbal talking to is first before all of a sudden getting a letter, which is why we said issue a verbal warning, but then for our safety, we documented that we talked to them.
How about at the end of A, and provide such documentation to the verifier upon request?
Yeah, that should work.
Sounds good to me. And then, Mr. Chair, I think that's, I refrained from being too nitpicky, so I think that's all I had.
Thanks, Jake. Any other board members have questions? I'm trying to find the other place here. We define debit project. It's a project or other activity that causes an anthropogenic disturbance and creates a debit. That's in section three.
Yes.
But we had somewhere else in here that said it creates a debit. Creates a debit that results in anthropogenic disturbance or something like that. So it was kind of redundant. Not the end of the world, but.
Oh, that would have been maybe page nine.
Yeah.
There's a red strike through activity or a debit project. So
there was another spot where we had it.
Sorry, Captain Steele, section 16.1, where it says if this would apply to any person that proposes a debit project on public lands that subject to state or federal review or approval authorization that will cause an anthropogenic disturbance.
Yes.
So it's, you're saying strike out that will cause an anthropogenic disturbance because that's already included in the definition of debit project.
That was kind of, yes, that was my thought. But if there's a reason keeping it.
No, this was like a last minute change by LCB. Okay. To add in debit project and strike, like rechange the definition throughout the whole thing. So it's a good catch.
So maybe after approval or authorization.
Yeah.
Strike that.
Yep.
Thank you. That's the only one I had. Other board members? Not hearing anything. We do say that this is open to public comment. If somebody'd like to speak on this. Those changes as made or any other provisions. I don't see anybody raising their hands or how are we done on this one? We all good? Anybody speaking up? Okay. This is for possible action. So could we get the motion for some changes made to approve?
Are these substantial enough changes that we have to do another hearing or are they good enough, minor enough that they don't really change the intent?
That's a great. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Chair. Didn't mean to interrupt you. Nicole Ting for the record. And thanks, Kathleen. Good point. I don't think they're substantial enough that we need to send it back to LCB.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Someone like to make a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to adopt the regulations with the changes discussed today.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it. This is Bevan.
Thank you, Bevan. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. We got it. Okay, at this time, we got a chance for public comment again. No public comment here. Online, any more public comment? Not seeing any. Proceed with the closing of the hearing. Any other matters from the board at this time? Anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
This is Bevan. I'll move to adjourn.
That's a boy. How about a second?
This is Kyle. I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. Everybody stay Aye. Safe out there. Enjoy the rain.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.